Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm loud. Yes. And I like it, you know. Our God is good. He deserves our praise. You know, He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be served. And I know Lucy, we're talking with Lucy. She said, do you know it's a privilege to serve God? I say, yes. But many of us take it for granted. It's a privilege to serve God. You know, just let's just try and imagine, you know, the king of the universe, the one who created the whole world, created you and me. Call us to Him, to serve Him. We should be happy, excited. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I just want you to turn to the person next to you and tell that person, I am happy to be a servant of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Choose God. You know, we've had a lovely time, the praise, the bread, and the message, you know, that Steppy gave why breaking the bread was really timely. And she said the Lord has been speaking to her. And I believe that is a message for every single one of us, you know, that we need to receive and act accordingly. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your Son, Lord, we come to you and just want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to serve you. Father, we thank you, O God, and we do not take it for granted because it's such a privilege. And now, O God, that we're about to listen to your word, Holy Spirit, I pray that you breathe on your word, that it's not about what I think, but about what you know we need. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, speak to every single one of us. Reach out to our heart. And so, Father, as we listen to this word, let it be a word that is going to transform our lives. Let it be a word, oh God, that is going to do something new in our lives in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will fill every single one of us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that by the time we leave this place, Father, we are renewed and transformed again, Father, filled with fire and zeal, oh God, for your kingdom in the name of Jesus, to go out there and do great things, great exploit, Father God, in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so excited. You know what the enemy does? I put that stand there and then trying to fit my phone and then drop the phone and then it cracked and I was looking at it. I'm like, okay, you know what? I have no time for you now. You know, like, I think just trying to get me upset, but I just, you know, brushed that aside. I said, God, you have something greater. I'm not going to dwell on that. Like, you are the provider. Even if the phone, you know, breaks, you provided for that one. So, like Steppy said, in the past days, the Holy Spirit, you know, has been ministering to her through that verse. Me as well, you know, the Lord has just been dealing with me in certain ways. And I know He deals with every single one of us if we allow Him, because it's about us allowing Him to deal with us. And He does that. He does that. And God wants our attention. He wants our attention, and sometimes He will allow certain things to happen, you know, because He wants that attention that He needs. He will allow something to happen, and if He doesn't get your attention, He might push the button even further. You know, I need your attention. I need you. I need you to listen to me. I want to speak to you. And then when we get to that place where, you know, you think, I can't take it anymore. And then you turn, you say, Lord, where are you? And He said, that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted you, you know, to come to me. I wanted you to seek me. And I've been trying to get your attention. And it's been like that with me. You know, in the past, before I get into the message, I just want to share this testimony. In the past, I've been someone who like fasting and praying, and that's just me. I'll go on long fast without food for days and days and spend time in the presence of God. And for like a year now, it's been difficult for reasons that I can't even explain. You know, after I had COVID. And you know what the enemy will keep saying to me? You know very well, you know, you can't do it. You don't really feel well, don't. And I'll be like, well, it's true. I don't really feel well. I'm not going to do it. And it's been like that for more than a year. And each time I'll be like, I feel in my spirit that I have to do it. You know when your spirit is telling you, Ella, do it. You need it. You need it. And I think, oh, I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. And I remember once I started, the first day I was kind of okay. Second day I felt like I was dying. And you know what the enemy said to me? He said, Ella, I told you that you're not feeling well. And then I stopped it. And then I've been really sick, you know, just from one thing to the other, one thing to the other. And then to top it up, I had my thyroid all swollen and pains and everything. And then Sunday, I remember Zoella came to me, my daughter, and she said, well, all those symptoms that you are having, I've been on the NHS website, and they said you need to rest. So I'm going to take your phone off you, switch it off, and just rest. And I was like, what do you mean? She said, Mom, no phone, rest. And, you know, I believe then that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me through my daughter. And then the Holy Spirit said, why are you resting? Just go on a fast. And I said, yes, Lord. So Sunday, I switched my phone off. And then Monday, I started the fast. The whole day of Monday, no food. He was like, Ella, you have to stop your chest. I didn't. Tuesday, the same. I didn't. Tuesday was like I was dying. And I'm like, oh, you know, and the Lord said, I am your strength. You will not die. And I was praying. I'm like, I'm tired of this sickness in my body. I'm tired of, you know, I'm 48, but walking as if I'm 60 or even older, my body hurts all the time. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be healed. So when I feel the pain, I say, Satan, even this pain that I'm feeling has to go. I have to be healed. I have to do the work that the Lord has called me to do. And you know what? No more excuse. If I have to die on this fast, I will die. But what I know is that I will be healed. And I carried on. And I'm telling you, Thursday, I was running all over the place. And I'm like, whoa, it's been a long time that even climbing the stairs was a torture. And I'll be climbing with pains. I'm like, but you know what? Since I ended the fast Saturday, since I'm running through my stairs and I'm like, whoa, God, you are good. And you know what? I didn't die. But in this period, God was just teaching me that, you know what? I need your attention sometimes. And you know, the thing with me, I don't know about you, but with me, it's like you need to put food aside. That's the way the Holy Spirit operates with me most of the time. Put that food aside and spend time in my presence. There are things that I want you to do. There are places that I want you to go. There are people's lives that I want you to touch. That if you spend your time eating, you will not be able to do it. Amen. So I'm grateful to God. And for me, that is such a testimony because I feel good. I've never felt the way I feel for a very, very long time. And I really give God the praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's go into the message. We've started this Sunday. We are starting, you know, reading the book of Hebrews. We're looking at the giants of faith. You know, what we can learn from these people. And as children of God, the first thing that we need to understand is that the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of faith because when we give our life to Christ, when we surrender our life to Christ, to be honest, we do it by faith. We do it by faith. When we are being preached the gospel and telling you Jesus died on the cross for you, you know, like Steppy was saying, he spent 3 days, you know, he spent 3 days in hell preaching the word and all of those. And if you want to think it, you know, right, reason it with your head, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that's why everything about our Christian life is faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11 tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. So faith just means believing in God. Believing in what His Word says. Not reason it out, because you can't reason it out. Just accepting. You know, whatever you read in this Word, you just have to accept it. That's what it is. Amen? So we're going to read as from Hebrews 11, as from verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God has taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I'm going to stop there, because if you carry on, it's just talking about what these men of faith did. Not just men, women as well. Today I'm going to focus on Noah. You know, when you read through the Bible, it's all about faith. It tells us about women of faith, men of faith, what these people did. You know, when you look at someone like Abraham, God says to Abraham, tells him, leave your country, leave your men, leave everything and go to the place that I will show you. That sounds daft. Why would I leave when I don't even know where you're taking me to? But you know what? He obeyed. Why? He did it by faith. Hallelujah. When you look at someone like Gideon, for instance, you know, God called him in the battle and God asked him to go and fight with 300 men. And you look at his opponent, you think, how can I win with 300 men when I have thousands of people coming after me? But he obeyed God and he had the victory. That doesn't make sense, you know, in the natural. But that's what it is. Our walk with God is a walk of faith. Amen. So when we look at someone like Noah, when we read, you know, it says that Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. The Lord warned him about things that were not yet seen and asked Noah to build an ark and said he was going to send a flood. You know, for someone who lives in the desert, who has never seen rain, and you tell him you're going to send a flood, how is that feasible in the natural? It's not. You need faith. Amen? You need faith to be able to obey God in such circumstances. I just want us to read about Noah. If you turn with me in the book of Genesis chapter 6. It says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the Son of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and the two wives for themselves of all whom they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and the bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the earth, for I'm sorry that I've made them. I like verse 8. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Amen. Noah pleased God. Hallelujah. And he says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. I will just stop there for now. You know, the Bible says that Noah found, you know, favor before God. And when we read prior to that, it says that the people became wicked. You know, God created us, created this generation of people that were before us. They were living on earth, but it came a time where none of them was working in the ways of God. You know, they were living their lives the way it pleased them. But one person found favor before God. Why? Because that one person, Noah, walked with God. I don't know about you, but I believe that is difficult. It must have been really difficult for Noah. In a time that is, it says the whole world, it means everyone. Today is a bit different that you have, you know, communities of Christians, but he was alone. Finding yourself alone in a generation where people live anyhow, do whatever they want, that is, which is against the word of God, which is against the God that you serve, and you have to be an example. That is hard. Where people cheat, you're not supposed to cheat. People lie, you're not supposed to lie. People live in sexual immorality. People commit murders. People do all sorts. And you there, you are supposed to be different. I'm sure it was really hard. But Noah decided he will walk with God. He will walk with God. He will please God in his ways. Hallelujah. So when we talk of Noah as a man of faith, one of the characteristics is he walked with God. He pleased God. And I believe that God is speaking to us this morning. He's saying, my children, I want you to walk with me. I want you to please me, because the world in which we live today is no different. It's no different when we see it out there. You know what? Sin has invaded the world. People live how they want. What was the norm in the past is no more the norm. When you say you are a Christian, you know what? People laugh at you. They ridicule you. And some of us don't even want to even tell that we are Christian when we find ourselves in the midst of people. Why? Because we don't want them to laugh at us. We don't want them to say, oh, you're one of them. Noah walked with God. He walked with God. Hallelujah. Steppy said, when she was talking about, you know, Jonah, talking about Nineveh, when God asked, you know, Jonah to go and warn them, they repented. And I'm here today not just to talk, you know, yes, people are watching me on Facebook, but I want to address the church that we are. Because we look out there. God is looking here, in here. God is looking at you. He's looking at me. Is our walk pleasing him? Are we walking with him? Are we pleasing him in what we do? Amen. Can he say to us, you know, about us the same way he talked to, you know, the testimony that he gave of Job, saying to Satan, have you seen my servant Job? I would like God to say something like that about me. Have you seen him? You know, he pleases me in every way. Oh, that is my desire. I don't know about you. To please him in all my ways. Amen. Noah walked with God. And the second thing, as we read verse 13, said, and God said to Noah, the ends of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence. And he said, through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The second point was, you know what? Noah walked with God. Noah had a relationship with God. Because for God to speak to you, God spoke to Noah. Things were going on the earth. And God said, Noah, this is what I want you to do. This is my decision. I'm going to destroy the earth. But I want you to do this. He had a fellowship with the Lord. He was in constant fellowship with the Lord. So God could tell him his mind. Hallelujah. We need to have a fellowship with the Lord. Now more than ever, it is important. You know, to have that relationship where God can speak and we can hear. I remember one time one of my junior sisters said, Ella, how do you know that God speaks to you? How do you know that is God speaking? And I said, John 10:10 says what? My sheep hear my voice and they know me. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. When we have that communion with the Lord, I mean, some of us are parents, yeah. Even if there are thousands of people, if you hear Olivia's voice, you recognize her voice. Why? Because she has spent time with Olivia. Spending time with Olivia to the point that she can identify Olivia's voice in, you know, in the midst of thousands of people. When we spend time in the presence of God, when we fellowship with him, guess what? We get to know his voice. We get to know when he's speaking. Hallelujah. But the thing is that we don't want to. Most of the time we are busy, so busy, caught up with nonsense, to be honest. Caught up with so much that we don't have time to spend in the presence of God. We don't have time to fellowship with him. And he's longing for that fellowship. He's longing to spend that time with us. You know, where you decide to switch off the TV and said, I want to spend time in worship. There are some people, the only time that they worship the Lord, some of us, is only when we come to church. You know, we worship God, and we read a bit of the word, and then when we go back home, we put our Bible somewhere, and where is Sunday? Say, oh, where's my Bible? Where did I put it last Sunday? You know, we look for it. And we come back to church. No. We need to have a fellowship with him. Hallelujah. Spend time. Make time. Make time. Prioritize. Seek it first, the kingdom of God. And its righteousness. Every other thing will be added unto you. Jesus was saying to his disciples, what he was teaching them is, you know, priorities. What is our priority? What is your priority? Our priority, first priority, should be our relationship with the Lord. Knowing him. And I remember someone said to me, oh, Ella, it's fine. Well, you are a preacher. Well, you have to spend time. You have to spend time in the presence of God because you have to preach. You have to know what God is saying. I said, no, really? I said, I can spend time in the presence of God. It's for me. You need to spend time in his presence for yourself. There are things that have to do with your life that God is not going to tell me. You will need to be in his presence for him to tell you about your children. That you're complaining all the time. You know, these children are wayward. These children, I'm tired of their attitude. Spend time in the presence of God. And he will tell you what to do about that child. My job, you know, my finances, my business. And we complain all the time. trying to do this or that. But when we spend time in His presence, He will tell us what to do. Hallelujah. The enemy has brought a lot of distraction, I'm telling you. I did days without my phone and it felt good. It felt so good putting my phone aside. Not every minute checking, what's up? What's there? Facebook, what's there? Or this, what's there? Who said this? Or who said that? Or which message? No. Be still and know I'm God. Quietness. Where He can speak and we can hear. Hallelujah. Let's carry on with our reading. You know, God said to Noah here, God said, build an ark. And this is the most difficult part because God said to Noah, I'm going to destroy the world, but I want you to build an ark. And not just building an ark, because if God just said build an ark, then if I was Noah, I would think, okay, you know what? Well, I would decide how to build the ark. I would decide, you know, the way that would be easy for me to accomplish, you know, the task. But God gave specific instruction. And that's the God that we serve. He's specific. Specific instruction to Noah. This is what you're going to do. This is how the ark is going to look like. And He said, then you and your, I will send the flood. And you and your family, you're going to go in that ark with, you know, the animals. Two species, every species of animal, male and female. When we read verse 22, it said, then Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Number three, the third thing about Noah is obedience. Not partial obedience, because sometimes we obey, but partially. God says, do this, and we do half of it. And we said, Lord, I've done it. And He said, no, you've done some of it, but you need to fully obey. Noah obeyed, fully obeyed. And I was reflecting, Noah lived in the desert, and God is saying to Noah, I will send a flood. If I was Noah, to be honest, I would be thinking, well, I live in a desert. They have never seen rain before. Noah was 500 and something years at this point. You know, 500 years, he has never seen rain. Because what everything, plants and everything was being watered from the earth. And then God is telling you, I'm going to send rain. You've never seen rain before. I'm going to send a flood. And you'll be thinking, really, how? How is this possible? But because Noah walked with God, Noah had a relationship with God. He knew his God. And he knew that whatever his God says, it's possible. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that everything is possible with God. So no one knew that if the Lord said that He's going to send a flood, He will. And he obeyed God. And I was listening to someone speaking. They said the ark that Noah built is like, you know, the length is one and a half times the length of a football field. And then it's like four-story building. Can you imagine? Or four-level, whatever it is. So high and the length, and Noah did it. And the Bible says that it took 120 years for him to build that ark. You're talking about patience. And I'm thinking, why Noah was building this ark? You know, telling the people around, because the Bible says he was telling the people, you know what? God is going to send the flood. You need to repent. You need to give your life to, you need to follow God. You need to turn away from, you know, your wicked ways. And he's building the, I'm sure they were laughing. Like, look at that crazy man. We've never seen rain, flood, where? And you know that's what happened. When God asks us to do something, he calls us. Sometimes he gives us, you know, instruction or like Steppy said, he asks us to do something that is part of our purpose, that is so difficult and so hard that we think, how is this possible? And the next thing is that it might take time for us to do it. You know, the process sometimes is very long. And in the midst of it, we might get discouraged. Why? Because it's taking too long. Oh, I want you to build that church. Oh, I want you to carry on with that ministry. And every day you look, you think, Lord, you said the members are coming. Where are they? Instead of the members coming, they are leaving. Lord, are you sure? Are you real that you say you feel this church? But right now, I can't see the people. The people are instead leaving. You know what? That is God. It took 120 years for Noah. So for some of us, it might take time. That calling, maybe to start a business. I don't know, maybe to move from that career to another career. And you are thinking, am I going to make it? I'm comfortable here, but the Lord is saying, yeah, you are, but leave that place and go somewhere else. I have something, you know, better for you. It takes time. Amen. People were laughing. Laughing at Noah. But guess what happened? God always fulfills his promise. After 120 years, Noah went into the ark, his families and the animals. And guess what? God shut the door and he sent the flood. I'm trying to imagine the people right now who were laughing at Noah. It's raining. I'm sure some of them were hitting like, Noah, please open. We believe what the Lord said. We believe now, please. Just open. We repent. But it was too late. It was too late. You know, sometimes God will give us that time to repent. The Bible says that he's slow to anger. But make no mistakes. There are times where he will, you know, like, you keep stretching and stretching and stretching. When it's enough, he will just leave it and guess the pain. You know, what was that act representing? Because Noah and his family, they went into the ark and they were safe. That act represented salvation for Noah and his family. But today for you and myself, that act is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That act is Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have salvation. In Jesus, we have safety. Amen. Jesus has paid the price for your sin and my sin. And everyone watching there on Facebook, he has paid the price for your sin. Hallelujah. What he's asking is us to come to him and repent from our wicked way and accept him into our life. And we are saved. Amen? You know, I just want us to read this passage in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Where Jesus was talking to his disciple when they were asking, you know, about the signs of the end time. And so Jesus said to his disciples, let me get there. Matthew 24, as from verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so also would the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I know there are some people who say, oh, you keep saying that. The church keeps saying it. Keep saying it. When is he coming then? He's coming soon. He said we don't know the day. But he said just like the days of Noah. We read people were eating and drinking and Noah was building the boat. You know, he was taking his time building the boat. Until when the flood came, then people realized. But it was over. And the same thing is happening today. You know, out there, people are doing their stuff. People are doing their stuff. The same way why Noah was building the ark, he was preaching to these people. We, as the church, have been assigned to preach to the people out there, to bring the message of Christ to the people out there. In Matthew 28, Jesus said to his disciples, verse 19, Go into the world and make disciples. Go into the world, and he's saying that to you and me, because no one else will do it. If we don't do it, no one else will do it. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel. But before you go there and preach the gospel, look at your life. We need to look at our lives. You don't want to go out there, you're talking to someone about Jesus, and when they look at you, they think, really? Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that it's Noah's obedience to God serve as condemnation to the others. When we walk in righteousness, I will tell you, there are people around you that will feel uncomfortable. Just your life condemns them. But then we want them, when they look at our life, let them come to us, you know, and ask us, how is it possible to live like this? How is it possible to have the kind of peace that you have? How is it possible, you know, to have the kind of joy that you have? Hallelujah. I believe that why the Lord wants the people out there to be saved, the Lord is also speaking to the church. Because the Bible says that judgment will start in the house of God. Judgment will start in the house of God. We have to take our life as Christians serious. We have to delight in the Lord. Delight in the things of God. We have to be on fire for Jesus. Amen? Nobody has to force us to read our Bible. We shouldn't be forced to spend time in the presence of God. It should be a delight. Amen. You know, the first commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. What else? Everything. Everything. And Jesus said the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God means making him the number one in our lives. Making him our priority. You know, your priority, even above your wife, your children, above everything. Everything. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It'll be a sad thing that after, you know, living our life like this and pretending to be Christians, and we miss out. You know, the rapture comes and we miss out. It will be a very sad thing. I don't know whether you've watched that movie, Left Behind. When I watched it, the pastor himself was left behind. The pastor preaching the word, telling people about the word. He was telling people about the word, but he wasn't living the word. Let's live, you know, this word. Let's make it our everything. You know, tomorrow, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Every day that we live, let us live it to the fullest for our God. Making the most out of it. And knowing that, you know what? When we finish, we have a reward. We will receive a reward. Hallelujah. So I want us to pray. Before we broke the bread, Steppy said, just reflect on your life. And I'm going to say the same. Let us reflect on our lives. Where are you in your walk with God? If the trumpets sound right now, will you be raptured? You know, we have to be sincere with ourselves. If the trumpets sound right now, am I going to be raptured? Is the life that I'm living pleasing to God? Have I lost my fire for Jesus? I just want you to speak to God, yourself, and just speak to him, you know. You know what you need from him. But can I have the song, I Surrender All? You know where you are. And you know what God needs from you. Just ask Him. Lord, I need you. I'm not where you want me to be. Oh Lord, I'm walking. There are certain things in my life that do not glorify your name. I need you to help me. Oh Lord, I have anger in my heart or bitterness towards someone. Father, help me to forgive them. I make the decision today to forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive them. Father, we bless your name, Lord. We give you the glory. God, Beth. Okay, we give you the adoration, Father. We thank you because you are faithful. We thank you, Father, because you love us. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord, this morning. We pray that you touch our lives, Father. Oh, we want to please you, Lord. We want to please you just like Noah pleased you, Father. We want to walk with you just like Noah walked with you. We want to have a fellowship with you just like Noah had a fellowship with you. We want to be obedient, Father, to you just like Noah was obedient. Lord, at the end, Father, we want to hear you saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I would just like us why this song is singing. If we can just stand on our feet, please. And while we're singing it, I just want you to mean it. You know, let's mean what the song is saying. I surrender all to you. Let's surrender everything to Him.